Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Author of Get What's Yours for Healthcare, How to Get the Best Care at the Right Price, Philip Moeller. Thank you for joining us. I appreciate it very much, Philip.
My pleasure, John.
And you know what? This is a book that probably everyone that is alive should have in the United States.
My children would love that.
Yeah, they probably would, wouldn't they, actually? All right, anyway. So talk to us about what's in the book. I've got it in front of me. There's a lot of great things in here. You've divided this thing up really, I think, well, you know, talking about the basics of insurance, you know, you and your healthcare team. I mean, there's just a lot of things in here that I think, again, every person that has health insurance should have this to know how this works, because most people don't, by the way.
Absolutely, they don't. The point of the book is that waiting for health reform from Washington is worse than waiting for Godot.
True.
This book lets you reform health care for you on a one-to-one basis. It gives you the tools to understand. And as you probably know, John, the tools today to make smart decisions are more powerful than ever before. Big data is revolutionizing health care. It's creating smart tools that are based on evidence-based research that says this is the care you need, this is the care you don't. These are the doctors who do well, these are the doctors who don't. This is who charges the most, this is who charges the least. In the United States, there's no correlation between the cost of health care and the quality,
there
which is
not.
Outrageous.
Yep, no, so well said. That's a, I appreciate
that's
you saying
the purpose
that.
Of the book. Yeah, that's the purpose of the book. It's not a rant book, it's a fact book. The onus is on you, which I'm sure you appreciate,
yep.
to make right decisions.
I agree.
Nobody's going to do this stuff for you. And so the book lets you make intelligent decisions, and that's all I can do.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, really, that's you know, what else can we expect when it comes to that? And to your point, too, and I think this is a misconception. A lot of folks think that, you know, there's not as many choices as there once was. Well, actually, there is. What you pay might be way different than what it was, say, you know, 15, 20 years ago. But the fact of the matter is, Philip, you know, even with HSAs and things like that, we've got more choices now than we've ever had.
We also have more complexity, and
that's true.
Comes along with choice, you
that's
know?
True.
A friend of mine who used to live in Eastern Europe came to the United States and went to a grocery store, and they were paralyzed. They couldn't choose, because they only had one kind of borscht where they came from, and they
right.
came to here, and they had 75 types of borscht. Anyway, the point is, choice comes with its own informational costs. Again, the book has tools that helps you sort through all this stuff. The goal is to make an informed decision, but also give yourself some breathing room. Don't rush into the hospital or the ER just because, you know, that's your first reaction. In most healthcare situations, you have a little time between your
right.
need and your treatment.
Right.
Use that time.
Right.
And also, call your insurer. You know, they're human beings who work there. I know it may not seem like it, but once you get off the phone tree, call people. Make sure you understand your coverage. A lot of healthcare debt problems are caused because people erroneously assume something was covered or it wasn't, and they don't check with their insurance company ahead of time. It's a bad mistake.
You know, that's a great point. I don't think anybody really ever reaches out to the insurance company until either they haven't, you know, something's happened with their yeah. policy, the bill, either getting, you know, overpaid, underpaid, something along those lines, or they have some sort of a claim, then they reach out. Nobody does anything on the front side.
Well, you know, we're programmed not to like these people. You know, in the baseball analogy, everyone loves to yell at the umpire.
Right.
And that's what insurance companies do. And we don't like to be told what to do in this country. No kidding.
No, we don't. No, so, we love our freedom. So, but to your point, that freedom, there's choices that are required as well.
Absolutely. You know, and insurance is sort of, it is a collective engagement. It only works because lots of people are insured and they're all in this big risk pool. You know, the bigger the risk pool, the better the product. You know, I don't hear anybody complaining that we have to get auto insurance. People complain about everything. But the point is, health insurance is the same way. It's a product. The insurance companies like to make money, but it's our job to step up and make sure we get a good deal for ourselves. And we can do that.
Do you talk in the book about some of the programs where, you know, it's a shared, you know, it's like a co-op, I guess you could say. You know, there's several different ones on the market. Do you talk about those as well?
I do. And my only objective is there's, you know, some of these policies get a lot of negative press. They don't provide the coverage that, you know, a more bulletproof plan does. But you get what you pay for. And so my objective in the book is to say, understand what it covers, understand what it doesn't. Some of these don't cover pre-existing conditions, mm-hmm. so you might have trouble. Just make sure you know what you're getting. And if what you're getting meets your needs, I don't care what you call it. It's a product for you. I just don't like to rule these things out of hand just arbitrarily because they don't provide every little bit of coverage that, you know, you can get with a sort of a, you know, deluxe policy.
And by the way, some people don't need that.
Absolutely they don't, which is, we saw that with the Affordable Care Act. You know, I'm 27 years old. You know, I'm not going near a hospital for 20 years, and don't tell me I need to pay $1,500 for something. I'm not going there.
Right.
Now,
yeah, well, it's like
that,
you know, it's like me at 56 having needing maternity coverage, which, you know, frankly, Phil, I don't need either. Yet there are policies out there that make you buy it.
Congratulations. One thing I will say, John, younger people are taking worse care of themselves than we did at their age.
You're kidding me.
And they're going to They're going to have big health problems. There are studies out showing millennials hate doctors. They think you can get an app to treat every ill known to mankind.
I never thought of that.
It's not true. And their health is going to come back and bite them big time with big health care bills in their 40s and 50s. So preventive care begins right away. And, you know, the point of the book is preventive care is really important. It's what the doctors and experts told me. That's job one.
I never thought about the younger folks and what you just said a moment ago. I learned something new on the show every day, and I just learned that. Thanks for sharing that. I did not know that.
That's fine. And my mantra is the cheapest health care is a health care you don't need.
Well said. Well said.
A third of our health care is unnecessary.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Low-value care. We don't need it. The book helps you sort through that, sends you to these really smart tools that have put all this evidence-based research online so that you can parse through it. And again, make an informed decision.
Okay. Where do folks find it, Philip?
Website is www.getwhatsyours.org. It's in all the major bookstores. Simon & Schuster is the publisher.
Okay.
The website has links to all the major online
Perfect.
Sources.
Philip, thanks. Enjoy your evening, sir. Thank you very much.
Thanks for your time,
You bet.
John.
Take care. I appreciate it very much. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers would love to help you out with all of your mortgage needs. And as I said earlier, if you are self-employed, Kurt would love to help you. He understands that better than most mortgage brokers do, knows exactly what needs to be sent to the underwriter, and will help you with that process. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All right, Roof Max is next. Dave, and actually he was out at my home today. I had him do a roof inspection on my place because he'll do that for free. He just comes out. He looks at things. I've already got from Dave pictures, different things going on. My roof is about, this just shows you how this works, 9 years of age, and I actually have a heavier shingle roof than what you're going to find typically on most houses. Mine's about three layers thick on a shingle. Now, even with that, I still have some shingles that are cracking. Roof Max can rejuvenate my roof. I'll get, if I do this correctly, I could probably get another 15 years out of my current roof, which will be far longer than I would get if I don't do anything to it. And that's what I will do because I don't want an insurance claim. I like being self-insured and doing things myself and not having that claim because with American National Insurance, I get basically 25% of my premium back in that fourth year if I don't have a claim. So that's where Roof Max comes in. Call Dave today, get a free roof inspection, and see what he can do for you. 303-710-6916.
Roof Max in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with Roof Max could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, Roof Max could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with Roof Max in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Dr. Kelly Victory joining us now. She was on with us couple of weeks ago, actually, I think just last week, and wanted to have her back. Dr. V, welcome back to Rush to Reason. How are you today?
Hey, great, John. Thanks for inviting me.
No, I appreciate it. We have so much to talk about when it comes to, you know, COVID and all the things going on. And I thought really, honestly, by now, we'd start to see some things in a little different, you know, way coming from the quote-unquote authorities that are running things. And yet, I sent you something last night where now the CDC is saying if you're coming from out of country, even if you're a tourist to Mexico, you need a COVID test 3 days prior to leaving that country and coming back here.
Yeah, and I just hate to hear these things, John, because I don't think, unfortunately, that it's getting us where we need to be. If you had told me back in February and March that we would be sitting where we are right now with regard to lockdowns and school closures, social distancing, mask wearing, and now travel restrictions, I would have said no way, no how. But lo and behold, here we find ourselves at the beginning of a new year looking at these things. And the reason I think these are problematic is because they largely are not stopping the spread of this virus. We have an awful lot of experience with previous respiratory viruses in addition to COVID-19, and we've never done these things before because they really are not, unfortunately, very helpful in stopping the spread. I wish that they were. I wish I could say just wear a mask because that'll stop the spread of a respiratory virus, but it doesn't, and that's the unfortunate thing. So, unfortunately, all of these mitigation schemes, I think, are distracting us from the things we could be doing, should be doing, namely really rallying around to protect those people who are at significant risk from COVID-19 and focusing on early treatment options.
Why, and by the way, everything you just said, spot on, I couldn't agree more. Why, though, are we still at this stage where, I mean, I got yelled at yesterday in the building here because I was down in the lobby in a little meeting, and me and the guy that I was talking to didn't have a mask on. So some guy walked in, found the manager, some Kevin or Karen, found the manager, complained. So the building guy comes over, tells me I got to put a mask on. And, you know, I have a short little argument about, you know, these things really don't do anything. This is just a big feel-good measure and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But, of course, because this guy has a mandate from the building owner that everybody in here has to wear a mask, you got to wear a mask. I mean, Dr. V, we've, like, gone off the rails on all of this. And to me, this has become much more about control than it is about the health and safety of the population.
No, I agree with you entirely, and you're just describing a day in the life of Kelly Victory. I get that every day when I wear a mask only because I'm required to in order to do simple things like buy groceries. And this is not, don't mistake what I'm saying, John, for saying that I am in any way, a virus denier or
No, neither one of us are. That's
or
right.
anything of that sort. No, we both acknowledge that the virus is very real. We know that there are people who can become really quite ill from it. And obviously, there are quite a few people who have succumbed and died from this virus. The good news is we largely know who those people are.
Right.
We know who the risk categories are, and we can behave accordingly. Unfortunately, mask wearing simply does not stop the spread of a respiratory virus, and in fact, can actually make things worse. We know, for example, based on a study that was done by Duke University back in August, that the cloth masks, particularly the ones that are those gator-style masks
right.
that so many people wear, those actually make things worse. They actually aerosolize respiratory droplets and cause a big heavy droplet that wouldn't otherwise travel through the air.
Okay, you know what? We talked about that the last time you were on. I think I understand what you're saying. I mean, fairly common sense, mechanical type guy. But put that, explain to folks listening so as they're talking to others about that, they've got, some data or the ability to explain that on layman's terms as to why that is.
Sure. Okay. So say I'm not wearing a mask at all, and I'm standing 6 feet away from you, and I cough.
Okay.
If I'm not considerate enough to have covered my mouth when I coughed.
Right.
I just coughed towards you 6 feet away. If a respiratory droplet, a drop of saliva or of fluid from my lung came out when I did that, it would be a relatively large droplet that came out, and if it had a virus in it, it would be carried a relatively short distance because of the size of that water droplet.
I see.
It would fall to the ground or certainly fall out of your airspace.
Right.
If I'm wearing a gator-style mask in particular, one of these cloth masks, and I cough, that droplet will hit the cloth, the mask, and in that mechanism of hitting the mask, it breaks into millions of tiny particles and goes through the fabric and ends up flying further than the heavy droplet, which would have dropped to the ground.
So to explain this into layman's terms, this would be like having a tight mesh screen. You're running the water faucet in the kitchen. You put the screen underneath the water stream that's coming out that is really just a single stream. Now, all of a sudden, you're dissipating that, and it's going all over the sink. Am I saying that correctly?
That's a good way to put it. That's an excellent way to put it. And it goes further because they're smaller droplets, so they're lighter, and they can fly further.
Makes sense.
Through the air. So in any event, my point being that masks not only are not good at controlling the spread, but some of them can actually make things worse. Furthermore, we know, for example, that when people wear masks, you're all human, watch people.
Yes,
watch
I have.
Them in the grocery store.
It's awful.
They touch their faces and their noses incessantly. They take the mask off and hang it over one ear while they lick their fingers so they can open the plastic bag
right.
and put the tomatoes in. Then they put it back on. Then they take it off to talk on the phone. Then they put it back on. Then they take it off to take a sip of their, Starbucks. So mask wearing in general, outside of surgeons, who are trained
right.
not to break a sterile field, lay people tend to touch their faces and mouths incessantly, and it gives people a sense of false security. So you start doing things that you otherwise wouldn't do. For example, maybe getting together in larger groups or getting closer to people who are sick or whatever it is. So there are lots of things about mask wearing that are downsides. And again, my bigger point is that as we focus on these things, and we focus on keeping schools shut down and social distancing, whatever that is, and limiting
right.
capacity in bars and restaurants, we don't focus on the things we should be focusing on, like early treatment.
And the other thing, and this is something we could get into a little bit later maybe as we talk through, you and I talk through today, is the byproduct of these shutdowns. And, you know, I had somebody on yesterday talking about teen addiction and, you know, the isolation in teens and, you know, teen suicide. And we're just talking about one segment of the population, not all. You know, the repercussions of these shutdowns, Dr. V, we all know. I mean, common sense is going to has to tell us that as time goes by in 2021, those numbers are going to rise.
Oh, you better believe it. And I coined a term that I've been using for the duration of this pandemic that I call COVID lateral damage. And so many millions and millions, by an order of magnitude, more people will be negatively impacted, will be COVID lateral damage, negatively impacted not by the virus, but by our response to it. And obviously, you hit on one of such populations, which are the people suffering from either substance abuse, depression, suicidal ideation, desperation, loneliness, those sorts of psychological components, but also a profound number of people who are impacted on the physical aspects. The number of people who have delayed, for example, all of the screenings for cancers, mammograms, colonoscopies, those things. The number of people who don't come into the hospital for treatment for things like heart attacks, strokes, diabetic issues, because they are afraid. I can't tell you how many patients we have seen who, and when you say, you've been having chest pain for 4 or 5 days, why didn't you come in earlier? And their response will invariably be, because I was afraid I might get exposed to COVID.
Right.
Or people told me avoid the hospital because they're too busy.
Right.
And these things are tragic and avoidable.
They
and
are.
Absolutely, it's unconscionable that this is happening.
I couldn't agree more with you when you said, okay, this is a great breaking point. When I come back, Dr. V, I want to talk about, you know, a lot of the predictions about the holidays. You know, we already went through the Thanksgiving time. Christmas is now come and gone. I want to talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. Again, we're talking to Dr. Kelly Victory. If you'd like to chime in or ask Dr. V a question, feel free to do so. 303-477-5600. Pure for Chevrolet is coming up next. And they want to help you out with all of your vehicle purchases, new or used. They've got you covered, and they don't just sell Chevrolet products. Of course, new they do, but on the used side, they sell everything. Right now, they've got a 2013 Infiniti G37X, 60,000 mile car, clean car, I should say, very clean car, 14.5 for Rush to Reason listeners. Go to purefoychevrolet.com or 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Al Smith is our financial advisor, and he wants to help you with all of your financial decisions as we go through 2021, getting your retirement and keeping you there. KLZradio.com is where you find him, or 303-744-1128.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a two-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Owning a relatively high-value home does not make you immune to cash flow problems. It's more expensive to maintain and insure. Property taxes seem to go up every year. And of course, you may have a sizable mortgage payment to make every month. You don't want to sell, but you wish you had a little more margin in your budget. As long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, a reverse mortgage with KLZ's Bruce Simmons could give you the financial cushion you need. Thanks to recent changes by the Federal Housing Administration, you may be able to eliminate your monthly mortgage payment, setting you up comfortably for as long as you live in the home. Starting in January of 2021, homeowners 62 years and older with higher value homes may tap into a larger portion of their equity, giving them a better chance of qualifying for the loan. Get in touch with Colorado's first certified reverse mortgage specialist now at klzradio.com/reverse.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Every single last one of those people should be arrested and go to jail. Every last one of them. I don't care if you were putting your feet up on Nancy Pelosi's table or banging down doors. Every last one of them should be arrested and go to jail.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dr. Kelly Victory with us today. Lines are open, by the way, 303-477-5600 if you want to talk to Dr. V. Okay, let's talk about this. You know, we're now past that 10 to 14 day incubation period from, you know, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Dr. V. Yeah, we've seen in some cases, even in Colorado, our cases have gone up some, but our hospitalizations and deaths continue to drop. So are we at a level now to where, yeah, people are getting it, but not having too many ill effects from it?
Well, yes, and I think that we've seen that trend now for some months, John. Cases are up because, number one, people continue to get tested, and an awful lot of the people getting tested are asymptomatic. So we are coming up with these, quote, positive cases or positive tests that are really not particularly meaningful because unless people have symptoms or are actively ill, I don't make much of it, unfortunately, and that's because the nature of the PCR test.
Yeah, and I agree with you. Now, that's not the way the authorities look at it, though.
Correct, and that's been a big part of the, you know, how we ended up in this debacle because we've had a case-demic. We are never before, I mean, there's no other disease I can think of where we count as a case people who have a positive test for an illness for which they have no symptoms. I can't imagine, you know, if you went to the doctor's office and said, I feel perfectly fine. I don't have a sore throat. I don't have a fever. I feel really well. I just was at the gym, but I'd like a quick test to see if I have strep throat. The doctor would look at you like you were crazy because we don't do that. We don't just randomly test people for illnesses, particularly this PCR test, which picks up just minuscule amounts of virus that could have been from months ago or longer and doesn't mean that you are infected with anything at all. Unfortunately, I think we did precisely the wrong thing again with continuing these lockdowns, because when you close bars and restaurants and when you tell people not to go to Christmas parties or to New Year's Eve parties, those sorts of things, they do the inevitable, which is they instead bring those things underground.
Right.
They bring the party indoors.
Sure.
They bring it. And we know from months and months of data on this virus that the most likely place for you to contract COVID-19, like most respiratory viruses, incidentally, is indoors in close quarters with someone who's ill. So, frankly, you have much less risk actually getting outside, going for a walk, being out, you know, at the park or skiing or whatever it is that you like to do, even being at the local gym or wherever else, than huddling inside with a large group of people. And that's essentially what happened and what will continue to happen with these lockdowns, independent of just the devastating economic and psychosocial impacts that the lockdowns have.
The other thing, too, that I don't think gets, you know, talked about much other than, you know, we talk about it, you and I, we talk about it here on my show, but you don't hear about this in the mainstream media, is a lot of the folks even that I personally know that have actually contracted COVID, frankly, are some of the, you know, hardcore mask wearing individuals, you know, that I've ever seen. No, they're safe. They wash their hands. They do all the things that they need to be doing according to these quote unquote guidelines. And yet some of those individuals are the ones that are actually contracting the virus. In fact, I would almost go as far as to say, Dr. V, more so than those of us that are not.
You're spot on, and we know this actually from the CDC. The CDC did a study mid-summer. It was late July, early August, and they looked at 1,600 people who had, in one small community, who had gotten COVID. And of those, 75% of those people said that they always wore a mask, and another 15% said that they almost always wore a mask. So 90% of the people who got COVID in that town were people who either always or almost always wore a mask. We know that if mask wearing, social distancing, lockdowns worked, we wouldn't need more of them.
Mm-hmm.
We'd be coming out of this. And I truly, I mean, I hate to say it because it sounds trite, but the very definition of insanity is doing the same
yep.
thing over and over and
yes.
over and expecting a different outcome.
And yet that's what we continue to do with COVID. And, you know, let's face it, I firmly believe that this was a virus that was weaponized politically speaking. I believe that now has accomplished its goal. They've gotten exactly what they wanted. Certain economies have been, you know, really affected by it. Certain states, certain sectors of the economy is probably a better way for me to say that. Some people, though, you know, Dr. V, let's face it, have done just fine. They're doing fine financially even. In fact, in some cases, maybe have done better because of everything that's gone on. But yet other lives have been destroyed. Never have I ever seen government pick winners and losers like they have in this last year, roughly. It's an entire year now that we've picked winners and losers. And yet this nonsense continues, even like I said earlier, and when you first came on, the CDC now wanting, requiring, you know, airlines even to not let passengers on airplanes coming from international destinations, not letting those passengers on unless they've got a negative COVID test at least three days prior. That even includes transfers through the United States. If you're just passing through, let's say, on your way to Canada, you are not allowed to get on the plane unless you've got a negative test. We're actually making this now worse, not better.
Precisely. And if we instead said to everyone, John, each person needs to assess his or her individual risk from this. We know that people under the age of 15, for example, under the age of 18, have essentially a
none.
0%.
That's, yeah, let's call it what it is. It's none.
Yeah, it's none. We also know, as importantly, they are not vectors of the disease. They don't spread it. They
right.
don't get it, they don't get sick from it, and they don't spread it. Okay? We know that people between the ages of 20 and 50 have a de minimis risk of significant illness unless they have those well-defined underlying comorbidities, and we know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes from there. So if each person assessed his or her own risk, followed reasonable precautions the way we always do during cold and flu season. I mean, I'm here to tell you, it was never kosher to lick each other's eyeballs.
No.
We didn't do that. I mean, that's just, you know, we cover our mouths when we cough and sneeze. That's the very nature of civility. Then reassured people that if you do get COVID-19 and have any symptoms from it, very mild symptoms, we have an abundance of safe, effective, inexpensive medications to start treating it. And if we depoliticize things like hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, zinc, vitamin D, all of the things that we know you can be doing to prevent this and to treat it early, we would be so much further ahead. And instead, we have the NIH and many large hospital systems saying, no, if you get COVID-19, stay home, take Tylenol, and wait until you get really, really sick. And if you get really, really sick, then come into the hospital, and we'll think about, you know, whether or not we should give you some new medication like remdesivir or Regeneron or one of these new treatments, rather than telling people what they should do, which is focus on prevention
yep.
through supplements and early treatment if you get it.
I mean, even worldwide, I'm looking at the worldwide numbers right now. We've lost roughly 2 million people out of 7.7 billion people on the planet. That puts us at a 0.02% death rate. And yet we've shut down, even right now in Europe, I mean, literally, we've shut down entire economies for this thing. Have we just lost our ever-loving minds?
Yes. Yes, we have. And interestingly, to tie that back into what I was talking about early treatment, when you look globally at the numbers, John, the countries that have done very, very well from a mortality standpoint are those countries, incidentally, like sub-Saharan Africa and places where they are routinely using medications like hydroxychloroquine for malaria prophylaxis.
Right.
And those, so, you know, this is not just my personal opinion. You can actually see this borne out in the data. Months ago, back in June, the CEOs of two huge U.S. hospital systems, the Cleveland Clinic and the Mayo Clinic, wrote an op-ed to the New York Times in June saying that back then they estimated that the negative impact of the lockdowns would far outpace the actual deaths from COVID-19. That was back in June. And they were correct. They were seeing it right then. We have got to stop this ridiculousness of the lockdowns and everything that goes along with it, and not the least of which is school closures, which is just insanity.
It is.
And get people back to work.
I agree.
You know, somebody said to me, it's very true. Societies are like sharks. Once they stop moving, they are dead.
Yep.
And we are really, really in trouble if we don't get this thing back on the rails very quickly.
Again, we're talking to Dr. Kelly Victory. And question I have for you, Dr. V, is, I'll just admit it. I've said it on here. I'll keep saying it. I despise the mask. I absolutely hate it. I think it is as we've said already, I think it's a control thing. It has nothing to do with the safety. I feel, I don't like wearing it. I don't feel comfortable wearing it. To me, it's just a big nuisance. But yet, I'm fearful that I'm never going to see the end of that thing.
No, I share your fear. And you're talking to someone who's worn a surgical mask for the better part of my clinical career. So I know when to use them and when not to use them. I know what they're good for and what they're not good for. And I share your fear. I think that we have an entire generation of kids, for example, who may never know the joy of going to an amusement park or to the shopping mall or anything without seeing a sea of faceless adults walking around. Think about, young children in their really formational years, during those, from 0 to 6 months when babies are learning how to interpret nonverbal cues.
Right.
How to interpret.
Which you don't see with a mask on.
You don't see any of it. And truly, I think we are doing a social experiment of untold proportions.
Agree.
And we won't know the fallout from this, John, for decades.
I agree. My daughter-in-law and I were talking about that the other day, and I've got two grandkids, multiple grandkids, and we were talking about that same thing. Young children are learning to talk, a lot of how they do that, Dr. V, as you know, is they mimic and they watch what others do with their mouth and so on, and that's how you teach them verbally. Even how are they going to pick these things up when we're even making two-year-olds, three-year-olds wear a mask? I mean, we have gone off the rails. Common sense has literally left the country with the things we're doing. It's just stupidity.
No, I was on a plane the other day, and there was a couple in front of me who had a little baby, maybe three, four months old, and I was initially smiling at the child through the crack in the seats, and the child was just looking back at me, and I realized, well, I've got my mask on. So I pulled my mask down and shot a big grin at this baby, who immediately smiled back.
Yes, did the same thing on an airplane ride recently as well. Yep.
And think,
and by the way, I did that, and the mom, we were kind of getting ready to we're heading down, so we're not out of the sky yet, but we're going down, and the pressure's changing. So the baby that was kind of across the aisle was, kind of fussing a little bit, and so I looked over, and she caught my eye, and I caught hers, and I could just tell she was looking at me, so I pull my mask down and make some funny faces, and I've raised enough kids, I know what to do and how to handle that and how to keep her occupied. And pretty soon the mom could kind of tell she had kind of settled down, and she was like, what is going on? Well, she finally looks over her shoulder and she sees me, making faces and doing things and kind of keeping the baby calm. And fortunately for mom, she wasn't a Karen and wasn't worried about my mask being down. She was more worried about the baby being quiet and not disrupting the airplane on the descent down. And I thought, that's what we're missing is what we just talked about there.
No, and that is almost identical to my experience, John. And it really pains me, truly, that we are missing that and the impact that this is having on kids. I talk to teachers, not infrequently, who talk about, you know, they're doing these Zoom meetings with their classes. And when if you really talk with them, they are less worried about the amount of schooling, education these kids are missing, which is significant. But they will report to you that kids in general are really suffering. They are depressed.
Yes,
they are
agree.
Hopeless. They're
yep.
anxious.
Yep, you're right.
They really are struggling with this whole thing. And I don't know how we get out of it because our elected leaders and the people at the helm from a public health perspective just refuse to look at the data and say, wow, what we are doing isn't working. Time to abandon this. Which, you know, they should have known from the beginning, but time to abandon it now that we've proven it doesn't work.
Yep.
And focus on the things that actually have a chance of working.
To what you just said a moment ago, I mean, I'm flabbergasted because, again, I can't believe we're having this conversation almost a year after this thing started, which I honestly, Dr. V, had I would not have predicted. In fact, I didn't. I was on air a year ago. I didn't predict this. I wouldn't have predicted this. I kept saying, oh, this too shall pass by summer. You know, we'll be out of it. Common sense will set in and away we go. And again, common sense has literally left. I guess the question I have for you is, how do we now start to get some of these elected officials to really look at the data, which, by the way, to me is just as plain as the nose on my face, or the mask on my face, I should say. You know, it's just as plain as day where we're headed and where we're at with this thing now, and yet you can't get any of these governors to acknowledge it.
No, I know, and all you need to do is look at a couple of states that have had stellar results,
like Florida
or Texas, South Dakota, places that are largely open for business. Schools are open for in-person teaching. They don't have restrictions on capacity in bars and restaurants, and very few, if any, mask mandates. And those states are doing, you know, Florida is doing better. Their mortality from COVID is less than 50% per capita of New York. So New York has had some of the most draconian lockdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, now in the 11th hour, Cuomo at least had the good sense to be a hypocrite and do a 180
right.
and say,
yes.
You know,
well said.
You know, that it's now time to, we've got to stop these lockdowns. Even Lori Lightfoot, mayor of Chicago, who's been just a disaster, she's finally come to her senses and said, we've got to stop these lockdowns because they are killing people, and they are. So I'm hopeful that maybe when some of those people start to say that the tide will carry. But truly, look at the states that are doing well. Same thing with the vaccine programs. Look at the states that are doing well with it, like West Virginia, and follow their lead. There's no reason we should be wasting, as in throwing away, vaccine dosages that haven't been given. Regardless of how you feel about this particular vaccine, if there are people who want it, get it in their arms. If there are people who don't want it, those people should have the right to refuse it. But the idea that we've had such a botched rollout program, my goodness, back in the 1940s, they were able to inoculate 2 million people in New York for smallpox in less than a month. You know, we haven't been able to get that done, you know, nationally with this COVID-19 vaccine all these years later.
Well said. Again, we're talking to Dr. Kelly Victory, and I should have said your credentials earlier, but, you know, Colorado Healthcare Consultant, you've been trained in emergency medicine, and you've been on multiple stages talking about this. You're a veteran in this area, Dr. V, and, you know, very wise, you know, far more than I am. I've read the data, but I'm not a doctor. You've literally lived and breathed and been around this stuff for years, have the background training. And again, I know we got a couple of minutes here left, but I'm just flabbergasted that we don't have experts listening to folks like you. I just feel like we've got the inmates running the asylum right now.
Well, I appreciate that. And I will tell you, I have expertise in disaster preparedness and response. And part of that includes pandemics. And I was at the helm at some very large Fortune 100 companies as a physician during, for example, the SARS pandemic back in 2003. There are ways that we know to respond thoughtfully. And in public health, which is a big part of what I do, our mandate, John, is to look not only at one disease process, in this case, COVID-19, but to look at how our response to that impacts the entirety of the population, not just individuals who get COVID-19. We cannot turn a blind eye, for example, to all the people whose cancers didn't get diagnosed, right, and whose heart disease didn't get treated, whose children didn't go to school, elderly people, you know, feeling abandoned and lonely and desperate for lack of being able to see their family members. In public health, we have a mandate to look at all of that and to consider the ramifications and repercussions of any particular mitigation scheme that we put in place. I think that history will look back on this response very, very poorly. I think it will go down truly in public health history as a mismanaged episode.
Agreed.
Of epic proportions.
Agreed. Dr. V, I again enjoy having you. I appreciate it. We'll have you back again in the future. Unfortunately, I don't think we're done yet. We'll have more to talk about. I know that Mr. Biden released some things that he plans on doing in regards to the quote-unquote pandemic, but we'll talk about that maybe in a week or so, have you back and go through some of those things.
I'd love to join you anytime, John.
Appreciate it, Dr. V. Thank you very much. Have a great evening. Let's do this. American National Insurance is up next. Paul Lewinberger, make sure you're properly insured. Car, home, you name it, he's got you covered. Make sure you're covered properly. 303-662-0789. That's American National Insurance.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Lewinberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Lewinberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
Extreme Auto Repair is up next, folks. They want to make sure your vehicle is in top working order. Don't forget Cooper Tires at Cost and all sorts of other things that they will do for you at the same time. Go to klzradio.com or call 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop, but you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. A couple minutes left of this hour, and we've got a lot going on in the next hour as well. Jonathan Jakubowski will join us. He's been on before. He is a best-selling author of Bellwether Blues, A Conservative Awakening of the Millennial Soul. We'll get an update from him on what he thinks of what's happened and how that may affect the millennials as we move forward. So we'll get an update from him here in just a few minutes as well. And then don't forget Scott Garlis from Stansberry Research will join us as well, give us an update on markets and what's happening there as well. So that'll be in the 5 o'clock hour. In the meantime, let me recap some of what we just talked about with Dr. V. And Joe sent me this earlier today, and I appreciate all the updates Joe gives me on COVID because he watches even what's going on in Colorado closely, even though he's back in New Jersey. And the reality is, folks, yes, we've seen an uptick in cases in Colorado. Cases. We've gone down in hospitalizations. I checked yesterday, we're clear down in the low 800s, and that's all across the state with 5.5 million people, 800. And that's just not in ICU. That's just in hospital with COVID. The ICU beds are even less than that. So our death rate is literally down to almost nil again. Our cases, yes, are going up, but hospitalizations are not just flat, but going down. Question I'm asking the governor, and continue to ask, Kevin Polis, is when does this come to an end? When do we just open things back up and get going again? And don't give me this excuse that, well, yeah, those numbers are there because of what we've done. No, that's a lame excuse because a lot of people got together at Christmas. We all know that. Nobody stayed home. Nobody didn't get together. Everybody did. And we haven't had any negative repercussions from that. So I continue to ask the governor, when are we going to open the state back up again? A Good Shop, folks, is up next. And they want to help you out. If you've been involved in an accident, you need to get things straightened back out, get things handled straight, clean, done, looking new again, even better than new. That's what a Good Shop can do for you. Three locations to serve you, two in North Glen, one in Commerce City. They'd love to help you, and they are certified to work on your vehicle as well. Find them at klzradio.com or the phone number 720-541-7697.
After a collision, you want to take your vehicle to a certified shop that specializes in auto body work. Al Sturm and his team at A Good Shop hear from a lot of people who think you need to go back to the dealership for auto body work. But just like John Rush has been telling you, many dealerships don't even do auto body work. Dealerships focus on sales. So in some cases, they don't even have the certifications and equipment required for quality collision repair. Al used to work for the dealerships before founding A Good Shop in North Glen in Commerce City. So he knows from experience that many dealerships farm your vehicle out to some other shop where you have no control over the process. You're just a number to them. That's why Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run an independent, certified collision repair center where they specialize in auto body work. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, folks, that is it for this hour. We got another full hour coming your way. And don't forget, in between our guest lines are open, 303-477-5600. Jonathan Jakubowski will be joining us here in a moment, so don't go anywhere. Don't forget, too, if you miss any of our hours, you can always catch them the next day on our podcast. It's easy. Just go to rushtoreason.com, find the podcast there, and you can listen. And a lot of you do that way, and I appreciate that very much. So we'll be right back. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.